This is the Social Geek Radio Network. And welcome to Social Geek Rockstars. I'm Jack Munson, your host and marketing consigliere. Today's Rockstar panel includes Kristen Pahacek of Massage Lux, Robert Mitchell of Ultra Pool Care Squad, and Dawn Weiss of Exponential Fitness. They're taking some big risks next year because that's how you win in franchising and marketing. And today they're going to share those crazy big ideas with you. Today's episode is brought to you by ServiceMinder, Hughes, and the panel is next after this word from Northeast Color. Northeast Color produces branded interior decor and custom signage solutions for the franchise industry, with a special focus on value engineering. They work with franchisors to re-engineer their existing signage packages to lower costs on materials, shipping, and installation, all while maintaining the integrity of their client's brand. In short, Northeast Color literally makes things better. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. You know, we may just title this podcast Chutes and Ladders because I think that's where we're all living right now. We used to think of franchising as, you know, monopoly and you're going around the board and buying up properties and that kind of thing. But Chutes and Ladders, Robert, might be a much more appropriate game, right? And yeah. One that I might actually win someday. So we're already rolling here. So I'll go ahead and bring in the rock stars for this particular podcast. And we're going to talk about some wild ideas for 2023 and beyond. Joining us today, Robert Mitchell. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Great. How you doing?
Glad to see you again. We've seen each other so much over the past year, one weekend at a time or so, that you're probably sick of me, but it's good that you're joining us again, man.
Never could happen.
Awesome. Dawn Weiss, how are you?
I'm doing great. Sunny Phoenix.
Yes, great to hear your voice again and to see you on the screen. Thanks for being here. And we're going to start today with my buddy Kristen Pahacek from Massage Lux. KP, if I put you on the spot first and just say, give me something you're thinking about for next year. It might be a little wild. It might be a little off the wall, but I think we're going to give this a try next year. What's the first thing that pops into your head?
Yeah, I have a list of them. As you know, the birth of this podcast was over dinner with Jack at FLDC, and we were talking about wild ideas, and eventually we had a podcast idea.
Yeah, I still have my notebook from that dinner, and by notebook, I mean cocktail napkins with ink.
Exactly.
On,
so. Exactly. So one of the things that I think is a little wild, but also attainable that I have my eye on is Hulu and YouTube ads for franchise ownership. So not content necessarily, we do that, we're all about that. But what if we started to put out a video ad through DSP to see what we could get in terms of franchise ownership interest? And this idea really stemmed from Domino's, because Domino's has been posting Hulu ads in that they are recruiting labor for their locations, but also have a subliminal franchise ownership message in that so many of their franchise owners were once employees of their location. So they've kind of paired those two messages together. I don't know which fund is paying for that, but it's definitely not the general ad fund, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's what's on my list.
I love that idea of stepping sort of back into television, but staying in the digital realm where we could actually maybe count a few things. I'm not sure if anybody else outside of the Domino's example, if they're really jumping into this right now, at least from a Fran Dev perspective. I'm sure somebody's selling something on some level there, but I love that idea. So what's next if you're going to implement this? Are you going to do some testing? Or do you have it kind of mapped out on when this would happen? And have you done any kind of advertising on either of those platforms already?
Not from a friend dev perspective. We have not used those platforms for franchise development. I think the next step is we have a lot of video content as it relates to storytelling and franchisee testimonials, but we really don't have that 15-second ad, right? Like TV commercial, like ad for franchise development. So before we can test, we got to put something together on that front. Then I'll likely start with YouTube, see what traction I get, and then move over to CTV.
Yeah. YouTube's a little easier to control and change and pull a few levers if you need to. You know, it's not that different than, I don't know when this would have been, but at some point someone said, you know, we should look at national radio or syndicated talk radio and talk about Fran Dev ads on those. And I'm sure somebody was like, that's a crazy idea. Why would you do that? And now if you listen to, you know, any sort of national talk radio, half of the ads are Fran Dev ads. So it's kind of that idea, but for, you know, maybe the generation that's not listening to AM talk radio these days, right?
So, well, I have a comment if I could. I don't want to kibosh anybody's ideas, but I want to have a nice, healthy debate, right?
So if I were to
push back, I'm just curious because I never see an ad. Just the way I do my media, Netflix, I have all the streaming services because I'm a loser. And all I do is watch TikToks and watch videos. So I guess I'm thinking like, I never see an ad. I can't remember a last time I saw it. If I recorded on Dish Network, I'm fast forwarding, right? If I watch Blacklist, they don't have ads. So I would love the idea. It's on my list here too, but I'm questioning whether who's going to see it. And like with XM ads, like Sport Clips, when I was with them, that was big. We got all of our leads from XM radio and it was great, but you're a captive audience. You can't push pause. You can't push, you know, whatever. So what are your thoughts on that?
I feel like I am a captive audience on YouTube though. I see every ad. I don't have a choice anymore, but to see the ads. So I think maybe that's baked into the pricing. And I'm just not familiar enough with the advertising on Hulu or the other television streaming services. Mm-hmm. Is Kristen, do you think that's baked into the pricing that even though we've got a billion subscribers, only, you know, 10,000 people are ever going to actually see this ad, and that's actually what you're going to pay for?
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, the vast majority of Hulu watchers don't pay for the non-ad version, right? So for us, you can't skip past that if you're not willing to pony up a couple extra bucks to get the non-ad version. And then, yeah, good point on YouTube, which is why that would probably be where we start, right? And I think that video could live in Facebook ads too, right? Producing that would allow us to use multiple channels for distribution.
Is anybody doing anything so far on any of the other short form videos? And I think now we're talking about actually some more long form advertising on YouTube or other places. But is anybody doing anything with YouTube Shorts or anything at all on Reels or any other places like that right now? Dawn, I think you've been doing something there.
No, pick me. I got like completely lit up because I've heard this before and I'm always sort of at that same mindset. And it's sometimes it's like so great to be in that same room with great minds that think alike. And I really feel like YouTube has now Moments Blast. So just a few weeks ago, I received this message from YouTube saying like, I need a hashtag and I need a tag. And I'm like, oh. Very interesting, right? Now what's Moment Blast? And so now when you talk about short form video, you know, my favorite meme, Robert, is the one that I'd seen, like, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's like, no YouTube, I'm always going to fast forward, right? I'm always going to skip your ads, right? Most people think and are of that mindset, and they did buy during the pandemic, they made a big push for audio on YouTube to get that consumership and then again, push podcasts and Prime there because we were all at home and consuming media differently. And so I think that there's a huge opportunity. My big plan and my crazy idea is to get ahead of that. I think there's this huge decentralization of social media. There's a lot of competitive nature. Over a year ago, I had my franchisees building in Reels to their strategy because I knew what was going to happen because there were telltale signs in the earnings calls and the calls that that Meta did with, you know, their investors to say, listen, if we don't get ahead of this, they mentioned, I think, like their brands, like, you know, 12 times, like a dozen times. And then it was like 24 times they mentioned Reels. And so then it's like, that's telling, that's where they're going. And the reason they're going there, obviously, right, to all of us, I think we were in the know, is because they're combating TikTok. They want that piece of that business that they know is potentially going to go away if they're not smart about it. And I think it's no secret that Zuckerberg is really focused on building his metaverse. And I think it's making investors really nervous, right? So they've got that big push to Reels, but I think that the response has been really kind of wishy-washy. I think there's been some pushback from content creators on social media channels, primarily on Instagram. And you know, when you see that come through the feeds where they're like, here's a photo and there's that trending reel that's like, you know, I've added music in because I'm like TikTok or Facebook wants me to go to, or Instagram wants me to go to Reels, but I'm not going to, right? They're right. Pushing back. But that's how they are, you know, pushing content through. And if you want to be seen, you're going to have to be where they are and you have to get ahead of it. So for me, that forward looking is that moment blast. It's that getting into that hashtag, owning my channel, getting the short form video, being there. They're seeing that Twitch has that audience, right? But you can't really scroll and find those users and the content that you want. And there's no scrolling feature. So YouTube owns that market and they've never really leveraged it. And it's interesting too, because Google favors its own content and Google owns YouTube. So if you want to be found organically, that's going to be the direction to go for the coming year as well.
Yeah. I think one of the things that, TikTok has educated us all on ways that people are consuming things. But I think the one thing that stands out to me from TikTok is we've spent the last decade preaching to the choir. And brands have been sharing content on Facebook and then Instagram, and we'll get to Twitter in a minute. But sharing content to people who already know the brand, are already following the brand, or even the small business for one reason or another. And unless you wanted to spend a lot of money, you're not going to reach anyone new. And I think TikTok came in and said, how about we show it only to people who are brand new to you, right? And then Reels followed suit. And now we're seeing, even organically, without spending a dollar, there are people who have no idea what your brand is, and they're experiencing it for the first time. And I got to tell you, that was not happening 5 years ago. You know, it was all the same old folks.
So what I think is that I saw a video on this, oddly enough, on TikTok, and the guy was explaining, this is quite brilliant, we're having this conversation. Maybe this is a whole different podcast, but the way he described it, and this is like TikTok took advantage of what was being created on other platforms, mm-hmm. and TikTok ran with it because it was more efficient at this method. And what I'm trying to get at is this, there's been a shift, a turning on its head, as it were, this what this guy was saying. It's no longer you have a brand and you make content. You make content and then you become the brand. Case in point, Mr. Beast, he did his thing on YouTube, but man, he has soared on TikTok, and other brands are taking, like the girl with the little tiny hands. I'm not sure if you're on TikTok, but these people have become millionaires because they had content, and then their brand has been used by, you know, companies that hire them to promote their products, right? So they have a brand that they developed purely from a content perspective. So I'm thinking, this is my big, hairy, audacious idea is using that to our advantage, because we are an emerging brand where we're trying to figure it out, right? So all of my ideas, well, several of them are TikTok based, right? Creating a series on this, you know, all kinds of ideas. But I think that the fact that TikTok turned everything on its head and people are scrambling, like, how do we use this? And this, that's the idea I'm having, but I'll wait for me to be called on.
Oh no, let's call on you now, man. Let's hear this idea. Hit us.
We need to hear it. We definitely need to hear it.
Okay, well, I have two, and I want to give credit where credit is due. My buddy Ken Heinz, he's not in franchising at all, but he's a brilliant, brilliant brainstormer, helped me work through these. But the first thing is TikTok series, and I have it's five this, five that, you know, five best this, five best that. Mm-hmm. Here are my things. Five ways your pool can kill you. Okay. Now, this is great because there are things in the water, if you don't take care of it, that can almost kill you. E. coli, you know, Legionnaire's disease. And that's a great way to be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to subscribe to this channel because I want to see all five of these episodes, right? That's the key. And by the way, please follow UPCSHQ at TikTok, you know, so that's our TikTok
done
channel. We just
click,
launched.
Click. Okay.
There you go. So the next one would be something like, you know, the pool boy redefined, right? Because that's the old axiom about our model is the pool boy. Either it's the pool boy who's doing stuff with the homeowner, right? Or it's Walter Matthau who's getting out of his Lincoln Town car with beer bottles falling on the ground and he's teaching Little League baseball, right? So which one are we? Well, hopefully we're neither. So we're going to redefine it by creating a 5-episode series on those worst pool boys, like those worst, like almost like infomercial. Is your guy doing this? You know, that kind of thing, right? So that's the other part of the series. Okay, so my other idea, I'll go over way on this side.
Okay.
Anybody know who Steve-O is?
Oh, yeah, from Jackass.
Yeah, have him tattoo our logo and have a campaign about our, because he's done that before with, you know, all kinds of weird stuff, or a similar influencer. And, you know, paying an influencer to sit by the pool, sip a pina colada, have our come by and clean it. You know, all kinds of content can be built off of the TikTok platform with this kind of stuff, right? So I'm going to get off TikTok and get on my next idea because this was the one I'm really excited about. Okay.
First, let me ask you real quick, Robert. You know, asking for a friend, what would you be willing to pay someone to sit by the pool and drink a margarita and get a tattoo?
Are you saying you're high enough on the influencer range to get that?
He's applying for the job. Yeah.
No, I was asking for Kristen, but yeah, please go ahead with your
next
sentence.
Okay, we will pay a dollar per follower.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Maybe not that. Maybe a dollar per 1,000 followers. Right. I don't know. I can't do the math that fast in my head.
There's worse ways I could make $25, but please go ahead.
Okay. All right. So the next one is because we're a home services brand. We're a brand it's all about it's trades, right? So this idea is a little bit more actually executionable. Is that a word? Not regarding all these channels. Okay. So we don't need a truck to a summer school program for high school kids. And the program is learn a trade during summer school. And the class could be just try plumbing, let's try electrical, let's try pool care, let's try, you know, whatever. That's not we're going to be one element of that. And here's what I love about it. We get 2 weeks with these kids, and there may be 20 of them in the class, okay? We get 20 customers, 20 pool owners that were willing to have these people come and clean their pools. It could be, could consider them an intern, okay? But that's not even the best part. The best part is, we can't have 20 people showing up to a pool, can we? We're not looking for pool necessarily cleaners. We're looking for people that might want to be owners, right? Mm-hmm. So we start off rotating 5 modules, okay? They're going to be QuickBooks, financial training. So one day, 3 of those students are learning about how to manage the business and the financial statements. Number 2, how to do with the sale under the software of our a van, right? The dispatching and the chemicals and whatnot. Number 3 is testing the water. That's complicated. Number 4, cleaning the pool, vacuuming, skimming. And then number 5, how the equipment works, how to take care of the equipment. So each module has maybe three people, and it rotates after they're doing it for 2 days or 3 days. And they all 20 get to experience each one of the modules. Now, the best part is this, the end result in this whole program is 3 benefits. We get to have potential employees for our franchise owners in Atlanta, okay? Employees mm-hmm. that are already trained. This sounds pretty fun. I like this. I'm going to do this for a living. I ain't going to college because I can make more money doing this, right? Number 2, potential franchisees. I mean, duh, they're doing this. I love it. Oz, grandma for the money. Let's do this. And number 3, the pool care customers, the people that were guinea pigs for us, they go, man, these older pool care guys, they know what they're talking about. I want to hire them full time. So this can be done in a high school, in a community college. We can donate the van. We can set up the program, but we do it every city. We need to have an owner. You know, Atlanta, Georgia, Phoenix can have 30 territories for us. We would be stupid not to. So what do y'all think? Shoot it down.
I love the idea. And I love that you could also tie in the 5 different modules of training back into the other content that you talked about earlier on TikTok or anything like that, and actually make little, you know, TikTok courses on, you know, running your own business, or, you know, what are you going to do with a truck, or whatever you end up calling it. You know, I love the idea of doing this kind of big stunt event, but you're also going to be filming it all along the way, I'm sure.
100%.
And you could, and you could use it for those other short form videos that we just
and,
talked
and you,
about.
You just give me another idea. One of those modules absolutely should be marketing your business. Like,
yeah,
how to do a YouTube video, how to do a TikTok video, how to do what we're talking. Because they're going to be a younger group that's almost like it's in their DNA. So they should be able to latch onto this fast. Definitely marketing.
Yeah, that. I think that the UGC component, right, tapping into that is going to be really valuable for you for that strategy, making sure that people are then posting what they've learned, right? How mm-hmm. do you incentivize them to post what they've learned? Because if they are not going to be somebody that you convert into one of those categories that you talked about, they're still going to help to amplify your messaging. And I think that, you know, the TikTok series piece, although I do think that you could do a pool boy homeowner video series, probably get very different demographic on that one, but boy, a lot of TikTok likes. But I think that just in terms of getting in front of that audience, that casts such a wide net, right? So distilling it down is finding that voice. There's been such a huge shift. Everybody's talked forever about influencers are going away, and they're not, right? It's a $15 billion industry coming into this year. And I think that when you look at it, you know, it's nearly doubled since pre-pandemic, but there's more focus on those micro influencers, and homegrown influencers has been a focus of mine for the last few concepts. Really just focusing on who do we have, who are our brand ambassadors, who's our core consumer, let them tell everybody. That's great. You know, the number one rule in franchising too, right, is that, you know, I have lots of experience and lots of information, but if I want my franchisees to really hear the message, it has to come from another franchise owner who's been there, right, who's in the trenches. So I think that, again, going out to that consumer and priming that message with your prime audience and having them, right, lend credibility to that campaign, I think could be really valuable. And I think really just focusing more on, yeah, it'd be great to teach them like the TikToks or like how to, you know, generate content and other things like that. But you don't want to get so much away. You want to show them your value is, right, joining that, because you're going to take a lot of that heavy lift off of their plate. So I'd caution you when you ask for feedback to really stay as central and core to what makes your program unique and valuable in that regard, because it positions you guys as a credible authority there, right?
Yeah, I think the balancing act is scare them without scaring them too much so that they won't be interested, but scare them enough that they realize they need help to do it. That's kind of the teaser that we're looking at.
Hughes powers the networks that people and franchises everywhere depend on. Hughes enables franchises to attract and retain more customers and create consistent brand experiences across locations. And once the right network is in place, franchises can further use their existing equipment, like providing secure Wi-Fi for guests or deploying digital signage to engage customers. A secure, high-performing network can protect a franchise against data breaches and the harm they can cause the brand and business. Hughes is small enough to care, large enough to succeed. Reach out and find out how Hughes can become your networking partner. Call Carl Udler at 301-601-6427 or visit hughes.com/franchise. Dawn, I want to go back to something you just said about the homegrown influencers and the micro influencers that you've been using for some of your brands. Tell me how that's going now, and what are you planning to do continuing that whole project over the course of the next year or so?
Yeah, so as it kind of started out, I did this a couple of franchise systems back before Exponential, when I was in the personal training fitness arena also, because, right, getting people to see how people have had transformations, right, was really valuable. And so when you're like, I'm an authority and I'm a personal trainer and I have all this accreditation and you should trust me, that's great. But there are dozens of them coming through people's feeds a day. If you're following that type of content and the algorithms find you like they find me every day. And so they're constantly on my heels. And so I think that, you know, the best way to that path again was through the consumer. And so initially, like at Amazing Lash Studio, we had tapped into more micro influencers. We did a beauty event in New York City and there were so many influencers and they came to us with, I have a million followers. I have 200,000 followers. You know what? That casts too wide of a net. If I have 67 locations and I'm in like only 25 states or 30 states, right? That's not as valuable to me, except from maybe a franchise development perspective, mm-hmm. which was part of the focus. But at the time, utilizing franchisees' money, right? And the royalties that go into the national ad fund, the focus really had to be on growing visibility and bodies through the door, right? So tapping into micro influencers and being able to say, listen, how do we get them to amplify our message and get into this group? Now they still came at a pretty penny. A lot of them will still do trade even to this day. So I can give away maybe like a month of membership at a location for a local mom blogger or an influencer. To be able to talk about and to do some stories and get that user-generated content, right? Tap into that new market, follow their followers, build in a hashtag strategy, right? So it's stepping that up. And so into the new year, that's more what we're going to do. Exponential has actually created across all of our brands, you're talking about 2,000 plus locations across 10 brands, we have access to homegrown influencers who are brand ambassadors who work in our studios. Some of them work across multiple brands. Some of them are a coach in one and a trainer in another or a sales associate in another. So how do we tap into those influencers and build their following? The reality is that brands have become big believers in the consumer cares about the brand. So they've forgotten two important things. The consumer, the brand has to care about the consumer, right? What are their needs and how have those changed? If you want to be where they are, if you want them to buy what you have to be where they are. And the best way to be where they are is to go through a friend, right? Who are the people that they're following? People follow people, not brands. We've talked about that before, I think. And so I think finding those homegrown influencers, your brand ambassadors, Exponential put this program into place saying, listen, if you have this level of followers and you're interested in, right, and you want to share what you know about Exponential and come, you know, forward to the community, that's a great offer up to collaborations with other big brands, right? It's increasing our footprint. It's not just my followers on my brand channel. It's look at the extent of my reach through this brand ambassador who lives that brand every day, who touches consumers, who connects with the people that want to make change, who know the brand inside and out, and who are in the trenches, right? So tapping into that in the coming year is going to be my primary focus on social, is building that micro influencer following, and leveraging, again, that visibility and pull back the curtains and tell me what makes this fitness play different. Because even across 10 brands at Exponential, right, they're all a little different. There's
And you don't have an influencer who is part of all 10 brands. It's they're mostly just part of one brand. Is that correct?
Yeah, mostly, right?
Maybe so, a little crossover.
There is some crossover, but you know, each brand has its own personality and each, you know, this sort of a path for, you know, fitness is different, right? CycleBar is very community based. It's more about the community and the experience. It's very, very experiential. It's a very immersive environment. Whereas maybe Yoga 6, even though it's community driven, is maybe potentially a little bit more of a solo practice, right? Mm-hmm. It is community driven because all of our boutique brands are community focused. And that is, I think, what makes them so unique in the space. But I do think that because there's such heavy focus on that, but I think being able to bring somebody out from behind there and really do a, like, what is their perspective of it, right? What are the different nuances of each brand can really only be done from that perspective. It can only come from the consumer's perspective. I saw this really cool thing. Simon Sinek was talking about how you can focus on being present and say that you are present, but you can't really make that claim. The people that you are present with have to recognize that you are now present, right? They are your audience. And so I can tell people all day long about the benefits and show the milestones, right, that we offer or challenges. But until I really show the sweat equity, right, that our consumers have and our followers have, I'm not really doing anything to move the needle. I'm not doing anything to connect with the consumer. So, you know, whether it's a big idea or not, my biggest focus for next year is really just going to bring that experience, focus more on experiential marketing, tie it across all of the different channels, like you talked about with Robert, taking what he's doing right out in the field, generating that content, cross-collaborating, finding the audience, amplifying the message, selling to the franchisees, checking the consumer box, all of that needs to now be connected. We have so many tools available to us as marketing, as marketers, and franchisees are constantly wanting to tap into the new one and the new one. And that's our game, right? We're sociologists, right? How are people, right, consuming media? If you don't tie it together, it's not nearly as valuable as any one of those singular touch points. So tapping into emotion, experience, connectivity, we're back. People are back in person. Look at the market, right? People don't want to work out at home anymore. That didn't really work out.
I love that visualization you just gave, Dawn, that just like, it was like so obvious, but yet needed to be said, the connection between all of them. And that needs to be in your core, like, well, when you launch a brand, launch a location, right? I love the way you put that. And hopefully you record that, Jack, because I'm going to have to, I didn't write it down. It was too fast. But
just go hit the 15 seconds back button. You'll hit it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that one more thing I wanted to mention on the heels of that, because this, a lot of this stuff is so digital that I want to throw something in here that was analog.
Okay.
And it is the idea, and this was, I'm stealing these ideas from other people smarter than me, right? Part of it was from the FLDC, the workshop that we did. Part of it was Micah and his brilliance, watching him. He's always great listening to the way he tackles things, but it's pitching to local news channels. Okay. So you're going into Atlanta, Georgia, and you need a location there. So you go there as if you have a PR company, or maybe you do have a PR company that does it for you, but you create the pitch ahead of time. And the two pitches I think that I've narrowed on is your backyard oasis is the new staycation. Now, the whole idea is that, you know, pool building and making a pool, right? But another pitch I have is put the family back in family time. But my point is if we can somehow create some energy in the local media, because I was going back to what Dawn was saying, is, you know, you don't want an influencer that's all over the world. You know, you want somebody that's in Knoxville, Tennessee, or Atlanta, yeah, Georgia, that you can, yeah, actually, that they have an influence there. And it's hard to do that online. And so you really have to go back old school, and you have to go back to postcard mailers, and you have to go back to the local news channels. They have a Live at 5 in Knoxville, which is like, you know, but it sounds like this little news channel that has the squirrel on the skis, right? It's Ron Burgundy type of stuff, right? So I think that analog method will allow us a little bit of the local attack, what Dawn was talking about. And if we can add that into that list of things she said, that would be great. Because then whatever you do, then you can just retarget that. You can use that data, right? You can use that article and push that out to all the channels.
You both make really good points in terms of influencer marketing and how challenging it can be at the local level, because even if they're a local influencer, their following is multinational and at least national, right? And so Robert, you bringing up that, you know, local news at 5, Newsacre, or realtors, people who have a higher tendency to have local followings within a radius of your location, may be a good place to start if you're looking for influencer marketing, just so you can try to contain some of that following, right?
But I talk about realtors all the time, Kristen, and I swear every time I do those calls, I think like I'm going to probably get fired that day, because I'm sure somebody thinks I'm nuts. But I'm like, look, they got 3,000 followers. And guess what? Followers live in your area. They bought homes in your area. They're checking out that feed because they want to be in the area. That realtor who taps into the community and does interviews with shop owners is brilliant, because they're getting in front of that community and showing the value of the product that they're selling, which is not the house. It's the neighborhood, it's the schools, it's the visibility, right, in the community of, or the ease of access to these things. That's what people care about, right?
Well, everything we've heard so far, that's one of the best ones I've heard. Using what Dawn just said, using the fact, everything she just said, I'm not even going to repeat it. What she said, record that.
Okay. So done, sir. Yes. I love the idea of realtors and maybe other local business professionals as influencers. You know, there was a time where maybe the local minister or preacher or priest would have been considered a local influencer. Now it's probably a realtor, or maybe it's other business owners, and kind of rolling everything back to our world of franchising, getting other local franchisees and business owners involved in what you're doing in Atlanta or Knoxville or something like that. I think there's so much that we could do there. It also just kind of hit me that we're talking a lot about consumer marketing. We're also talking a lot about marketing for franchise development. Kristen, you're living in both of those worlds at the same time. And I think that's a trend that I see happening more and more, where the marketing is bubbling up to one person responsible for both sides of that coin. Are you focused on anything particular for either side, or do you see more of a merging of those consumer marketing and fran dev marketing tactics for your specific brand, in doing all of these things that we're talking about for both consumer and fran dev at the same time?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I think consumer marketing is always going to be a little bit more advanced than like B2B marketing, right?
Yeah,
B2C
yeah.
has the edge. And I think that a lot of B2B marketers may lose out on that innovation because they're not as closely connected to the B2C side of marketing. So, Jack, we were just talking last week about micro pages or landing pages specific for franchise development, which is totally not new on the consumer side of the business. You're going to create micro pages dedicated to the audience you're trying to reach, right? But in franchise development, maybe that's something we can look at. So to answer your question, I think there's a lot of benefit to pulling these two categories together, because the innovation that you're finding on the B2C side, in most cases, can be replicated on the B2B side to get ahead.
Interesting. I've got one crazy idea that I'm going to throw out at everybody, but before we get there, does anybody else have another idea that they'd like to share with the group that they want to try for 2023?
So the two other ones I haven't mentioned, and this, again, I'm stealing these from smart people. It's the hand on a van, right? Hand on the house, hand on the car, whoever has the hand on their longest wins a franchise. So,
wins a franchise. They don't win the van, they win the franchise. Okay.
This is how I this idea was like this small, and then it got bigger and bigger, because I thought my buddy, he termed it perfectly, because I don't want to give away a franchise fee. That's everybody does that, and veteran this, veteran that, which we do great for veterans. We love veterans, but we need something like big, hairy, crazy idea. And this is the way he phrased it: a rags to riches. I'm going to cover everything, not just the franchise, but the total cost to launch the franchise. If you can hold your hand on this van long enough, we will set you up in business. Now, obviously, we want to qualify those people, right? We want to make sure these are people we want in the system. So if we go through our database, we look, you know, people that have already inquired, maybe, and you know, that's a whole other figuring it out, but this is all the idea podcast, right? Something, because that's a $75,000 total investment that we're basically giving away. And that's a big commitment, but I haven't asked my boss yet. So that might go away pretty fast.
Oh, don't ask for permission. Let's ask for forgiveness. I think
build a campaign first. Yeah, build a campaign first, right? Do you want to own a hands-on business, right?
Oh, I love it. There you go.
Hands-on, play on words. With along that same line, this is my last thing and I'll shut up. This seems to me very doable. And again, I might actually do it. So we really want somebody in Knoxville. We've been trying to find, it's our home base. We don't have a location here. We want someone in Knoxville. So I plan to outbid everybody else for every keyword related to business and franchising for a week, like $50,000, whatever it takes to buy every keyword So anything that you Google, we're going to show up. Now, obviously, some pay-per-clicks are going to be more because we're way outside. You know, we're not a bathroom franchise, right? So in order to steal from the Burger Fies of the world and whatnot, we'll have to pay more for those pay-per-clicks. But my point is, crazy, buy it out so that we can have 1,000 leads in 1 week. I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah, let us know when you're going to do that, and we'll stop spending for that particular week in Knoxville.
Seriously,
because
I don't want to be outbid.
I don't know. Is that considered collusion? Maybe we shouldn't be having this conversation recorded. But I love that idea, though. I think you know, we're going away from a pandemic and into a recession, maybe, or definitely, kind of depends on where you're at with that. And next week we're about to hit an election. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen after that? And then things are going to get really crazy for the next couple of years. So coming up with some crazy ideas like this, I think next year we'll look back at some of these and say, you know, that really wasn't too crazy. It just happened to work. I will leave everybody with my kind of out there idea. We've talked a lot about some crazy ideas of going back to some quote unquote old school advertising and channels, including television and public relations and local media and things like that. I'm going to go back to another old school channel, something that I've neglected and abandoned for a while now. And it's one called Twitter. And I'm going to go back. I'm going to give it another try. It was a massive source of clicks and reach and conversation and growing influence for me many years ago when the podcast was young. And, you know, we all kind of fell away, or most of us kind of fell away from Twitter as a business tool. And over the past several years, it's turned into just a place to go to argue politics, right? It feels like it's going to go one way or another. It's with the new ownership from Mr. Musk, right? It's either going to go way off the cliff or it's going to have a comeback, right? And so I think I'm going to bet a little bit of resources on maybe it will have a comeback and maybe it will become less of a political fire pit that it is right now. I don't know. Could be very wrong about that, but I think there are enough people talking about it right now, and I still have enough of a following on Twitter that I'm going to give this a shot. I'm not going to abandon all of that quite yet. Check in with me in about 6 weeks. I may have deleted my account by then, but I think that's something that I'm going to give a whirl once again in 2023. Go back to Twitter and let's see if we can rebuild this thing and make it work for business outreach. So
now I have a question. So what do you think about Elon taking over there? I mean, do you think that that's going to draw, because I think that that's going to draw a crowd, right? People want to see what he's going to do.
It's definitely going to draw a crowd, and we'll see after next week's election, midterm elections happen, like where are things going? It's going to take a few months for things to kind of fall into place and, you know, is this going to just fail miserably? But, you know, Elon Musk, love him or hate him, the guy doesn't fail, right? He's doing this for some reason. And I think I have enough confidence to ride his coattails on this for a little bit and see what happens. But
I'll tell you what's interesting is that in from an organic play, Twitter doesn't come up as frequently as it used to, right?
Sure.
Organic search. There's been a lot of video content movement, but not tagging that video content. And now the video space is muddied. But it was one of the first micro blogging platforms. And what's interesting what's so interesting was that it had a younger demo, and then an older demo came in. And as always the case on social, the younger demo leaves, because if my parents can see it, right, I don't want to be on it. It's not cool anymore. But it's the first social media platform, I believe, where they rebounded and younger generations came back in, right? Because it was a way to, again, have a voice and to maybe rise above that noise. What's crazy to me and what I'm interested to know on the outcome of your shift to that, Jack, is there is this propensity to believe that these audiences, right, are wider than they are, and we need to find our audiences within them. And Twitter allows you to do that because you have your following, right? They're again amplifying your message. Mm-hmm. But social media has become this highly curated space where we are all very suspect and knowledgeable, quite frankly, that what we see is putting us further into this bubble of our own. Right.
So we want to be in the echo chamber. Yes.
Yeah. And so we're like, yeah, I'm going to amplify it. I'm here with everybody. But truthfully, what people are seeing is what they've chosen to see. Right. They've chosen to see it. And so it'll be interesting to see, because maybe the following isn't as large, but I do suspect that what Twitter has to offer that a lot of the other social media platforms still struggle with is that that true following, right? That brand ambassadorship, that user generated engagement that you can't always get. I mean, I've told Instagram 1,000 times that this is the page I want to follow, and here's my notifications and notify me, and here's the star, and I'm playing all the games and I'm saving the content and I hit the ribbon. I got it, but I'm not seeing the stuff I want. I'm like, where was that post? What was that?
Right.
Where?
And they're saying, no, you don't want that, Dawn. You want this over here. We know you better than you know you.
Yeah. I don't want that. And that's it. That's it, Jack. I think you hit the nail on the head. Is these social media platforms believe they know you better. And I believe very, very fervently that Elon is going to take a different approach that way, potentially, that he sees the value of you having access truthfully to what it is you want. It's the same way that he's kind of amassed, you know, his plan and executed the plan for Starlink, right? Mm-hmm. You have access to what it is that you as a consumer, you as a person, you as an individual seek, and information needs to be free to the masses to that extent. So hopefully that's the way they go. Now he's taking it over himself and going to be CEO there as well. So until he can place somebody. So it'll be interesting to see what shifts happen. But I think it's a good bet to hedge for sure.
Yeah. To your point, Donna, the irony is that most of my interactions with Twitter are people on TikTok quoting people Twitter posts.
Absolutely. Same with Instagram too. You see the screenshots taken from Twitter and reposted on Instagram, and you know, maybe that will go away, but that will remain to be
seen. In case you're wondering what the new one is, my daughter told me this is, and it's on my phone now.
True thought leader, yes.
Because I'm trying to, you know, police her like a good father does, right? Making sure this is proper content for a 12-year-old. And it's called Be Real. All of her friends have it, which is not an excuse, honey, just because your friends have it, right? So I'm trying it out. You know,
but it is. They're making all of our decisions for us, aren't they?
Yes, of course. So it's all the other parents that I'm worried about, not the kids. Letting those kids do what they do. Anyway, so Be Real is what I'm trying to see. If that, it's a little different, but it's like a kid's version of Instagram. It's fun. But going back to Twitter, I'm going to take the gauntlet. I'm going to log back in after many years, Jack, and I'll do it with you.
All right, brother. I will tweet you on Twitter. And Dawn, Kristen, and Robert, let's plan on reconvening here in about one quarter and see how things are going so far in early 2023 with all of these crazy ideas. You guys are all rock stars. I appreciate you so much for giving us so much time today, and we will see you all very soon.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys.
ServiceMinder is the platform for managing and operating home services brands, from tracking marketing efforts to delivering professional online proposals directly to clients, to lead capture, to automating daily tasks. ServiceMinder provides unique tools and integrations designed to make your brand stand out from competitors. See why ServiceMinder currently supports more than 50 home services franchise brands and integration partners. Book a demo today at serviceminder.io. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. Your comeback of a lifetime starts now. This is The Social Geek Radio Network.